title this morning. It is fitting how all things work together this morning around the cross. Let us boast in the cross. Let us pray and ask God's help and direction this morning. Father, we thank you and we give you praise for your help today, for your blessing, for moving in our hearts, for getting us rolling this morning and ready to get to church and to worship our God, our Father, our Savior. I ask for your help right now, and I ask you, Holy Spirit, to fill me for this message, that it is the message from God and not the message from a preacher or a man, but from you. I trust and depend in you to do that, and not in myself. Pray that you'll bless us, direct our steps, speak to our hearts. You bring it the way you want it to be brought. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In verse number 11, Paul says, "You see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand." We see the heart of Paul here as he finishes out this book of Galatians. He loves these people so much. He wants to give them some final thoughts. Men differ on whether he wrote the whole letter himself or just right now he picks up the pen and finishes this thing in those large letters. It doesn't matter to me which way it is. I rather think he wrote the whole thing with those large letters. You know, and he's emphasizing that here in verse number 11. The major point is that Paul loved these people, and he's emphasizing the last phrases that he's going to say. The book of Galatians was, and it is, the Christian's declaration of independence from the slavery of the law. Paul had suffered for his stand on that truth. And we're going to see he bears in his body the marks of that stand that he took. And as he personally writes the conclusion of this letter, he's going to emphasize several things, which we'll see in our points 2-6. So point number 2 this morning, boasting in the flesh from verses 12 and 13. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. He begins by exposing the treacherousness of these Judaizers. These false teachers, they were boasting in the works of the flesh. The works of the flesh they were teaching is, you, Galatian Christians, you need to be circumcised and you need to keep the law. So they tried to get the Galatians to be circumcised so that they could glory in the works of the flesh and not in the cross of Christ. And so hence our title, Boasting in the Cross. That's where our boast, our glorying needs to be. These Judaizers were looking for a way that they could avoid persecution from the Jews. You see, Paul never looked for that, and he got persecuted. You know, we will look good to the Jews if we can get these people to get circumcised and obey the teachings of the law. We will look good to the Jewish leaders, and they will not put the hammer down on us. They knew that they would tolerate the teaching of Christ, but you folks need to obey the law, and you need to be circumcised, and that'll make us religious leaders real happy. So it's a natural thing for man to glory in the works of his hands, the things that he does. And as you look around on Christendom today, the vast majority of denominations and religious teaching and sects emphasizes the works of their hands over glorying in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a watered-down Christianity, and you must beware of anybody who waters down the preaching of the cross as first priority. The cross has been relegated to the back seat and thrown out the back window in a lot of circles. And the emphasis is on, well, we need to do this for these folks, and we need to do this for those, and we need to go over there, and we need to do. No, you get saved, and you preach the cross, and you do that first, and then you go and do as a result of the cross. It's the Judaizer mentality. Works of the flesh is where it was at for them. The cross to them was their get-out-of-jail-free card. That's all it was. It was a rabbit's foot to them. And that's what happens when the cross is no longer embraced. That's what happens when the cross is pushed to the side. That's what happens when the cross is no longer lived by God's people. The cross has become just a symbol to be displayed on a steeple or to be worn on a necklace around a woman's neck. That's what the cross has become to the vast majority of people. The Judaizers and false teachers emphasize the works of your hands, not the main thing of winning souls to Christ and making disciples. And that brings us to Paul's next point in number 3, boasting in the cross. Verse number 14. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Paul shows us here in verse number 14 a sharp distinction between the Judaizers and himself. The important thing for the false teachers was getting everybody circumcised. The important thing for Paul was the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Be it far from me that I should glory in anything but the cross. And as you remember, the Apostle Paul, he had a list of credentials a mile long. If anybody had a right to glory and boast in what he has done, it was Paul. But he says, I count all that but trash. The main thing is the cross of Jesus Christ. Salvation is only through Christ crucified. We must live with an eye on Calvary at all times. Paul says, let us boast in the cross. No Roman and no unbeliever would glory in the cross. Why? Because the cross is a place of shame. It is a place to die. It is a place of torture. It is a place of death. It would be like boasting in a firing squad. We boast in the cross because we understand the significance of the cross. We see it from the standpoint of eternity. We know that the cross is God's answer to sin. Jesus is the Lamb that was slain from the foundations of the world. We, as believers by faith in Jesus Christ, we can boast in the cross. It is not a thing of shame for us. It is a badge of honor. It is the place where our Savior died for our sin. It is the place where that blood, the last of His blood, was shed for our sin. We preach the cross. Jesus shed His blood there for our sin. He died on that cross. The cross has a strong application for us who know Christ. It is the cross that separates the carnal, worldly Christian from the spiritual Christian. A proper vision of the cross puts an end to worldliness in our lives and compromise with the world, because it was the cross that was this wicked world's answer to Christ. And the cross is our answer to the world. We are to be crucified to the world and alive unto God. We can never and we must never lose sight of the cross of Calvary. You know, a good view of the cross of Christ, the cross of Christ that he died on, should kill the sins that we just can't seem to lick. We need to go to meditation on the cross of Calvary. Jesus went there to pay for our sin. That sin that has been paid for, and that sin that tries to rear its ugly head in our life, that's got to go. So the next time your mind goes to sinning, the next time your mind goes to dreaming up something else wrong to do and conniving or whatever, what you need to do is get a good glimpse of the cross of Calvary where Jesus died, and then fall down on your knees in repentance for even going there in your mind on that sin issue. Jesus died on that cross, and we must make much of the cross. We need to get up and glory in the cross. Never lose sight of the cross. Point number four, living in light of the cross, verses 15 and 16. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature or a new creation. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. Paul's driving home the truth here. The circumcision is not the important thing here. That is not the issue. But the fact that you have been made a new creation by the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, that's the issue. You are a new creation. Live in light of the cross. Live in light of the fact that your sins have been paid for and that you are a child of God. It is not the circumcision of skin that is important. It is the circumcision of our hearts. There's the point. And let me just drive that home with several verses of Scripture here. Romans 2:29, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter of the law, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Romans 4:12, and the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, notice, which he had being yet uncircumcised. You see, Father Abraham had not gone through circumcision yet, but his faith in God was already established and it was already there. Romans 9:6-8, not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel, neither, because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. Galatians 3, verses 7, 9, and 29. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. There's three assurance of salvation verses right there. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation, a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Are you born again this morning? That's the important thing. Are you a child of God by faith in the finished work of Jesus on the cross of Calvary and the resurrection from the tomb? That's the important thing. Crucifixion is followed by resurrection. We just had a baptism service here last Sunday morning, and we pictured in that baptism service as our individuals were baptized. We pictured the cross with Christ, our resurrection with Christ, and to walk in newness of life, living for Christ now in the light of the cross. We live for Christ in light of the cross. Living in the light of the cross, we are given peace and we are given mercy. No one else has that. By faith in Christ, we can have what the whole world longs for: peace and mercy. How often do you hear the politicians talking about peace? Peace. Peace. And they have not a clue where the source of that peace is. It is in the cross of Jesus Christ by faith. That's where it is. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I've been saved so long, I have no idea what it's like to hit the pillow at night and not have peace. But billions of people go to bed every night with no peace. No peace. They're concerned. Am I going to be alive tomorrow? What's going to happen to me tomorrow? I hope I make it. I hope this, I hope that. But the child of God can hit the pillow with perfect peace through our Lord Jesus Christ. And there is no other way. Number 5, the marks of the Lord Jesus in verse number 17. From henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Can you see Paul writing that? There was confidence in that. Don't mess with me. Don't bring that stuff to me. You look at my body, you look at my back. I bear in my body the marks of Jesus. I have suffered for him because I took a stand against all your circumcision and works of the law stuff, and they wanted to beat me to a pulp, and they tried to stone me and kill me twice. And I suffered all these other things. It was all about the cross of the Lord Jesus. The visible physical scars of how Paul suffered with Christ for the advance of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the good of others. These are the wounds and the scars that he carried around with him everywhere he went. He bore in his body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we get to heaven, we're going to see the marks of Jesus too. There's certain ways that we believers need to get tough. We need to get it into our hearts and our minds, what Paul is saying here. The day may come in this country where we will bear in our body the cuts and the wounds and the beating and whatever for the cross of Christ. That day may come. And we need to get ready in our hearts for that we're not going to back away, and that we're not going to recant, and we're not going to say whatever babble and drivel that they want us to say, that we will be bold no matter what. It's all about the cross. It's about what Jesus did for us. And we need to glory in the cross. And so we need to ask ourselves this morning. We've talked about physical marks. But do you bear the marks of Jesus in your own life? Do you bear the marks of Jesus in your bank statement? Do you bear the marks of Jesus in your priority of time? Do you bear in your body the marks of Jesus when your family looks at you? Do you bear in your body the marks of Jesus when carnal Christians look at you? I guarantee you, carnal Christians will look at you and they will despise you because they're loosey-goosey and you're not. They don't like that because you make them look bad. You make them look like you're very, very holy and righteous, and they look in the mirror and they know that they're not. And so we have to make sure that we're going to bear in our body the marks of the Lord Jesus before men. Before those who will hurl accusations at Christ, those that hate Christ. We don't tolerate that and leave it go. We bear in our bodies, in our hearts, in our souls, the marks of Jesus. So a good question this morning, is your life cross-shaped? Is your life cross-shaped this morning? I think we have 13 crosses on this property, if I counted correctly. And you stare at one all the time I'm preaching. Now we got one on the steeple. And there's one on the porch. And there's three on the hill. And there's three on both sides of the sign down there. And maybe I missed some. But we've got the symbol all over the place here. We need to carry it further than a symbol. It is more than a symbol. We must bear in our bodies, our hearts, and our souls the marks of the Lord Jesus like the Apostle Paul did in his life. And then finally, number 6, grace and gospel-rooted living from verse 18. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. He's writing this with his own hand in large letters. We see that this book of Galatians begins with grace and it ends with grace. It's there. God gives us everything good that we don't deserve. You know, we need to really focus on how good God has been to us and how good He is to us right now. Wow. It is grace that will drive us to gospel-rooted living. It is the grace of God. We boast in the cross of Christ and nothing else. We sing the words, marvelous, infinite, matchless grace. We sing the words, grace greater than all of our sin. The Judaizers offered a ministry of works. Grace offers eternal life by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace picked up our lost souls and guarantees us a home in heaven. And can you see Paul? He's done. He takes that pen and he writes, Amen. And he puts the pen down. And off this powerful letter goes to the church. This powerful letter where we close it out with glorying in the cross of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning for the Apostle Paul and his willingness to sit and to pen this letter. We hear his heart. We hear the fight against the works of man versus the faith and the grace of God. We could hear him almost standing in his cell and preaching it. And we trust that we've done a good job of preaching what he has written. Father, we pray that you might seal these thoughts to our hearts and our lives. We ask that you would give us the great cause in our hearts and our lives, and wherever we go, of the cross of Calvary, the cross of Christ, let us glory in the cross of Jesus, our Savior. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.